Hey gang, welcome to Dateline Louisiana, a provocative look at the deepest of the deep southern states. Thoughts that are informative, candid, humorous, and sometimes controversial about life in one of the most interesting and rabble-rousing states in the nation. Here are your hosts, Ronna Gray and Jim Brown.
Hey, welcome to our podcast. Jim Brown here with my co-host, Ronna Gray. Ronna, good week, and we've got lots to talk about today, don't we?
I can't wait to hear what you've got in that big folder of yours.
Oh, I've got a big one. I'm ready to really stir them up here a little bit and share some memories of some folks as we get started earlier. But I want to tell our listeners they can keep an eye on us by going to our various websites. This podcast website is DatelineLouisiana.com. And then Ronna Gray has her own website where you find her books. She's a prolific writer and does so much in the private sector and the business world. You'll find that at RonnaGray.com, R-A-N-N-A-H, Gray, G-R-A-Y.com. I've got my website at JimBrownLA.com. So lots to choose from if you want to keep an eye on us. Several things of interest. Martha Stewart, bless her soul, she's 82 years old, and I've always thought she's a pretty lady, but she's 82 years old. She's on the cover this week of Sports Illustrated. Can you believe that?
Not just Sports Illustrated. The swimsuit edition.
Oh, okay. All right. The swim. And you
It'd
know.
It'd be one thing if she was like in the Senior Olympics or something and made it, but she's in the swimsuit edition.
Ronna, I took Sports Illustrated for 30, 40 years. I don't take it anymore. I don't know why I don't. But one of the reasons I continued it for a number of years because I wanted to read that swimsuit edition. You know, all these.
Read it, right. Focus on the word read.
Right. And Martha Stewart is on the cover in the swimsuit.
I've seen the pictures from the photo shoot and she looks fantastic. Good for them for putting her on the cover.
Hope it's a good encouragement for other women to say, hey, I know what. And she, I read an interview about her in the New York Times, and she said that, you know, she had some firming up to do, that once she decided to do that she had about 3 or 4 months, and she was doing Pilates 3 times a week, and she went out and got in the sun, got a good suntan, and tried to kind of use that.
She paid her dues.
That's right,
I was hoping she'd be kind of like on the beach with Snoop Dogg or something like that, since she's got such a great friendship with him, but we can't let that story go without mentioning that there's 4 versions of the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, and one of the 4 is Martha Stewart, as you say, and another of the 4 is a Baton Rouge girl, Brooke Nader. A lot of people know Coach Sam Nader, many years with the LSU football team, heads up recruiting and all. That's his granddaughter.
And I did not know that.
Went to school here and went off to New York when she finished, and she's on the brink of being not just a successful model. She's been that now. It's her second time in a Sports Illustrated swimsuit, but first time on the cover. And she's going to be a supermodel. And I saw Coach Nader recently. He told me her 3 sisters have followed her to New York and are also getting into modeling. So we might be seeing them for years to come.
Well, that's super.
But one of the 4, Martha Stewart's going to draw a lot of attention to it, but I'm sure a lot of people will be looking at Brooke Nader, too.
Well, then the young gymnast at LSU, I think she's in the edition.
She's in it, and the basketball player is in it. Angel Reese is in it.
Angel's in it?
Uh-huh. We've got 2 athletes, and then Coach Nader's granddaughter, Brooke, and then, of course, Martha leading the parade.
Good-looking ladies from Baton Rouge of all ages.
Right,
so that's
right.
Wonderful. So a couple little mentions about several people that's passed away that I knew and that really were major influence in the South. Hodding Carter III, who was ran a newspaper, the Greenville newspaper up in Greenville, Mississippi, a real stalwart, ends up becoming the spokesman for President Carter, and just a guy that emphasized the better things about the South in his writings. He passed away here. I think Hodding Carter was right, 83, 84. And the other guy, another Mississippi guy, and Ronnie, you're from Mississippi originally, my buddy Ralph Boston. Ralph Boston was the Olympian on two different Olympics, won gold medals, held the world's record in the broad jump for a long, long time. Ralph and I, Ralph passed at 83 here just last week. And Ralph broke Jesse Owens' world record, and just a marvelous athlete, a great inspiration to young people. We were on the same U.S. track team together. We had a 400-meter relay team that ran all over the world with we had just a number of great people. Paul Warfield, that was a great halfback for Philadelphia pro football team that was ran. And then we had Ralph. Ralph was a great guy. We hung out together a good bit. He loved Germany, loved the pretty girls in Germany, is what he did. And so he passed away at 83. And I just wanted to mention that because, again, they're both friends of mine, both Mississippi folks.
Yes. And, that's two great losses there. Of course, growing up in Mississippi, I definitely knew the Carter family. They owned a great newspaper there, very active in the civil rights movement in Mississippi in the 60s and writing some very progressive stands on that. So he had a great career.
And really emphasized the great writers in Mississippi, too. Shelby Foote, for example, and Eudora Welty, and he had a great relationship, all Faulkner, you know, so many folks that he dealt with there. So any event, and by the way, I didn't mention Bullet Bob Hayes was the world record holder, fastest man in the world on that team. So we had Boston, world record holder in the broad jump, Warfield, then Bullet Bob Hayes, and me. You know, I was I handed off to Hayes, and he's a world record holder, and I was always worried he was going to run off and leave me. But and I'd say, you got to practice. We got to practice the handoff. He never would. He didn't. He didn't want to practice the handoff, so he never ran off and left me. But I was worried he would. So, all right, Ron. The telephone rings. Ring, 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 and you hear this. Miss Johnson. Finally, it's good to hear a kind voice. That last call I made was tougher on me than my mother-in-law's meatloaf. I'm only kidding. I'm only calling. How you doing today? This is Frank Wallace calling for the American Police Officers Alliance. Very quickly, we're mailing out the envelopes to help fight for our officers who protect our nation's citizens just like yourself. Once you receive your card in the mail, you can send back whatever you think is fair this time. That's all. Okay, thanks for talking to you, Ms. Johnson. And the voice hangs up. That's not a police officer. That's not a human being. That's artificial intelligent phone call that's trying to hit you up for money. And 98% of the money goes to all the people making the phone calls. Virtually nothing goes to, and that's rampant. These kinds of scams, I get those calls once a month from the Firemen's Association or the policemen. So, you know, right there where you live, we're trying to protect those policemen. And it's just a scam to take the money. So I just wanted to mention that. And it's
that's terrible.
Everybody keep their guard up.
I give to one of those, and I didn't do it until it was for the firefighters, and I didn't do it until I called our local firefighters and made them confirm. I made them mail me something first and then confirm everything. They go, yeah, we really do want you to give to that. But I'm so suspicious of those because some of them sound so real. And if you keep asking questions, you can kind of figure out it's artificial intelligence and you're it's a response.
Not
thing.
Even a live voice.
Not
it used
even
to be at least a live voice.
Person, right.
No longer.
Ugh, it's killing me.
All right, Ronnie, this one you wouldn't know anything about because you're a city girl. You've been a city girl most of your life, and you're not tuned to the rural nature. But the state of Rhode Island, in their name of the state, they're called the State of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. That's part of the name of the state. And it's been there for some time. And So the governor says we got to drop that word plantation because that brings racial connotations in the plantation life. And so we can't allow that anymore. Well, the voters have voted on it on several occasions and overwhelmingly rejected changing the name. But the governor says, well, in our stationery and anything that I print, we're going to leave the name off. If the vote, maybe it's still the legal name, but I'm just not going to do that anymore. And that's just not, you know, in the line of all of us being politically correct now, that is becoming more and more an issue. And I'm being facetious, and I want to give your history and I'll give mine. But, you know, Louisiana, where we emanate from our show, we're a very plantation-oriented state. You come up and down the Mississippi River. It's very vital to the tourist industry. There are some just marvelous plantations. The craftsmen that operated back in 18, before the Civil War, but to some degree after the Civil War, that did the hand carvings, that did the plaster medallions in the homes, all plaster, of course. There'd never be any wood or any imitation. And the woodwork, the just the beautiful, beautiful plantation homes. Of course, we've got so many of them in New Orleans today. Baton Rouge has a few, but New Orleans just has a whole litany. It's not just the French Quarter, but you go uptown New Orleans, see some of those marvelous homes that are not considered plantation homes, but on the outskirts of New Orleans, St. Bernard Parish had some of the biggest and most elaborate plantation homes. They've been destroyed over a period of time. The oil industry's come in and torn a number of them down, unfortunately. But any event, Rana, are we overreacting by wiping the name completely out of a name like plantation or not?
You know, Jim, I think about this a lot because, as you know, I did not grow up in the city. I very much grew up in an agricultural environment and from a family that definitely grew cotton in Mississippi and owned the cotton gin. And I do think about this a lot. I don't know. There are certain words that have just become very painful to members of our communities to constantly have to listen to. Plantation being one. They used to describe it as large farms run by resident labor. Well, that's slaves. I mean, that's slavery, and that's just another whitewashing of it. And, you know, there's so many things in Mississippi that are still named the Dixie this and the Dixie that. And I think about, you know, I've heard it my whole life. How do you feel if you're a black person and you're going to something it's named Dixie? I mean, we still, of course, have Confederate flags flying everywhere, some of the people that won't give it up. So, and then on the other hand, you're right, there's a history here. I had no idea state of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations was the full name of the state. On their state seal. I had no idea of this. I noticed that in reading the article about it, she did not get any pushback. She's a Democrat. She did not get any pushback from the Republicans about the need to remove it. It is a very progressive state. They, of course, to be partisan, were picking on how she's going about it. She has to get a vote of the people. And you're right. The people are probably not going to go along with it because I'm not sure that they see it as the painful legacy that we have so much here in the South. And I don't know the answer. I mean, do you go take down every single statue in the United States of America by a president who owned slaves? Because there's a lot of them coming down still.
We can take George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. We can go right down the line with the first six presidents, all were slave owners. And so, but that's part of our history. And, you know, people say, well, they knew what they were doing. They knew it was wrong, and they just perpetuated. You know, put yourself, let's just say this. Chris, you listening, you're a producer, Chris. And by the way, he's going to Ireland here with his fiance here in a couple of weeks or pretty soon. Ireland was the slave. That's where the British got their slaves from the Irish. And then we brought the Irish over here to New Orleans, and the Irish built the railroads and did all that heavy, heavy labor because slaves were too valuable. Nobody cared about the Irish.
And we treated them badly, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But Ron, I just want to pick up on that. It's a tough situation. But I mean, do we just wipe out any implements of our history? It was wrong. But anyway, here's my question, Chris. You're born in along the river, and your parents had home house plantation, beautiful plantation home, and they had 600 slaves there on the plantation. And you don't know any different. You're educated there within the confines of the world around you being other people on plantations. You hang out with guys and the girls that you date all come from the plantation world. That's the focus that you have. Do you think you're just going to rise up and say enough's enough and maybe an occasional person would? Maybe you would. But, I mean, when you put it in the context of how you were brought up, you know, I mean, I went in the military because that's kind of what people did back when I was there. Well, I wouldn't go in the military today, but I'm not castigating those that did. You know, it's a tough issue, and I think in some instances, flying the Confederate flag over the state capitol, as they were in South Carolina and Mississippi, the flag should come down. But do you wipe out every semblance? Do you take the name of Cortez, who had indigenous Indians that he was accused of making slaves, off the streets in New Orleans? Or, you know, they're in the French Quarter, and they're on the street corners, the name. So do you change all those names? Do we just put us into a vanilla state of the 21st century? Is that how we want to live?
That's the question for Chris.
Wow, so
I don't think we should erase history in the books. In fact, I think we should teach it a little bit more accurately. But I would like to think, if I lived back then, I would follow in the footsteps of John Adams and Lafayette, who were abolitionists in the time, in the context, with their education. But am I that good of a person? I don't know, because they're cream of the crop. I would hope so. I would hope I'd be more like Lafayette.
Well, you're going back to like the 16 and 1700s of all these things being named this and all. And we certainly, I think, we want to evolve. But I'm with Chris. I don't know that you take that out of history completely. You know, I, long before it became politically correct, Norman and Sam Marmillion renovated Laura Plantation, I'm doing the air quotes there, as the Laura Heritage Site down the river, and told what went on at that home from the slave perspective. This goes back 20, 25 years. Nobody else was doing that. To me, that's the proper way to evolve and start saying there's another side of this story that needs to be told, and educate people about it, and sort of move away from, you know, just hoop skirts and all that.
Well, what we have, you can't watch Gone with the Wind on television anymore. If you don't have
it's
a DVD.
It's been taken off.
Yeah, it's been taken off. Turner, it's been banned. One of my favorite movies of all time. I love the music, and I love the acting, and I love Gone with the Wind, but it's just not, you can't watch that anymore. But
Yet there's a lot to be learned from watching it. You know, there's a lot of things in it that are now, we realize, inappropriate, but yet there's a lot to be learned. That's why I think the canceling of everything is not the way to enlighten people. Censorship is not the way to enlighten people, no matter which side it's on.
John Cummings is a longtime friend of mine. He was a very wealthy trial lawyer in New Orleans. And I just reached a blank on the plantation.
Whitney.
Is it Whitney?
John spoke at Norman Marmillion's memorial service
and
told a wonderful story about how when he got interested in Whitney, he sat with Norman and his wife, San Marmillion, and they told him everything they did with Laura, and he's next door to Laura, with Whitney doing the same thing, telling it it's a wonderful area there for people who want to come see what the agrarian experience was really like in this part of Louisiana. But he did a very nice job, too.
Yeah, he spent a lot of money doing that. So I think there are more and more of the plantation homes doing that. It's evolving. You know, I don't know. It's, Oak Alley is probably the most popular home.
Homer's House, right?
That and Homer's House, mm-hmm. that are tourist attractions. I don't know if they're emphasizing that or not. But Como Plantation's a wonderful plantation up just west of St. Francisville. And I've got a good friend named Charlie Cole who's bought that and turning it into a Christian retreat. He's turning the beautiful home and he's using it for that purpose. So there is and of course these homes are, you know, they're exorbitantly expensive to maintain,
right.
You know, and I know I don't own it anymore, but I had a beautiful plantation called Lisburn Hall Plantation up in North Louisiana. And what's happened, the negative of our conversation is that more and more people have got them for sale and they want to get rid of them because they say the threats they get for burning the house to the ground and that kind of thing, insurance has just gone through the roof. The insurance has gone up like 8 or 10 times when, say, I had the home I had up there because of threats to the home and the fire exposure. And so we're going through an internal change in terms of the focus, but I just hope we're reasonable. I think your comments are reasonable. Chris is reasonable, and I hope I'm being reasonable in saying that, those were tourist attractions. You just didn't have any plantations in Iowa. You didn't have any, in Cincinnati. It's not a big plantation, but, we had them here, the riverboats. It's something that some people like to experience, and I don't forbode them for doing
and,
that.
And all the conversation's good. We have, I think, a greater sensitivity to it because we had the plantations of the South growing the large crops and the slavery that wasn't as prevalent in other areas. But there's a movement now called the 15% movement because African Americans are almost 15% nationally, and they want to be 15% of, participation in anything, boards and positions of influence and all. And I listen to that and I think how interesting that is because we're trying here in Louisiana for more like a 25% participation goal in contracts and public works and all, because we have a larger percentage of African Americans, 33, 34 somewhere statewide, I guess, I'm guessing, totally. But how interesting when you reduce it to nationally 15%. So in some areas, they are really an extreme minority. And now you look at immigration coming in and the number of Hispanic people coming into the United States because of the turmoil in South American countries. And we need to continue this talk because we've done the same thing with, you're right, with indigenous people or with Hispanic people or with, look what we did with Japanese Americans when we put them in camps. I mean, there's just a lot to be talked about. And I think talking about it and seeing it is learning about it is never a bad thing.
Oh, no, I think there's just tremendous discussion going on and great numbers all over the country. So, well, since and we could talk a good bit about diversity and, as you said, the 15% wanting that representation. Are there any instances where you say, no, there's too much on the line for saying the 15%? Because our safety is at stake, the military, for example. Some people say that the effort for diversity has caused some very competent military people to leave the military and that we're putting our nation more at risk by filling positions that people who've worked their way up to the rank normally would get, but letting minorities fill those roles. And I thought this was interesting. There is a congressionally mandated study in the Marine Corps eliminating gender-specific terms. You will no longer say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. That, you know,
can't
say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am anymore. And it goes on to cadets have been taught and cleared so-called gender languages by avoiding terms like mom and dad.
What was it that Fred Sanford used to do on Sanford and Son? Hold on. He was pretending to have a heart attack. Hold on, Elizabeth. Hold on, Elizabeth. He was always pretending to have a heart attack. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
Can't say mom and dad anymore, huh? Mom, I'm thinking about you. Both my parents have passed away, but I'm thinking about you both, and I'm going to keep calling you Mom and Dad. And with that vignette, we will go ahead and wind things up here, Producer Chris. I had a good week here talking about other issues, none of which we will have a definitive answer to, but as Ron has said, we're talking about it, and that's a big plus, and that's something we want to continue to do. This is Dateline Louisiana. Glad you're listening. You can go to our website at datelinelouisiana.com and to find out a lot more about our topics. You'll see all kinds of past shows we have up there. Also, ronagray.com and jimbrownla.com is how you learn more about us. Hope you will continue to listen. We post a new podcast up once a week, often every other week. So stay tuned with us. Have a good week, folks. Glad you're listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Dateline Louisiana with Jim Brown and Ronna Gray. To subscribe to this podcast or contact Jim or Ronna, visit datelinelouisiana.com. We hope you'll join us again next week for more news and reflections from the Bayou State.